Enoch took the stroll one day with the master, just him and the Lord alone. He got so close to the portals of light that God just took him on home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be around. He keeps leading me home. I struggle over mountains, walk through some valleys I thought I would never see dawn. And the one who said, I'll never forsake you, is the one that's leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for his throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. I struggle over mountains, walk through some valleys I thought I would never see dawn. But the one who said, I'll never forsake you, it's the one that's leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home, he keeps leading me home. Destined for the throne, no time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. Like we said earlier, yesterday was resurrection morning. We go by the scripture, eh? The first new moon after the spring equinox, and then 14 days later, that's the Passover, which was Friday, and then Sunday, he resurrected Sunday morning. So this yesterday was Sunday morning, and then that's when we recognize. We don't celebrate, we just recognize it, because it's the right day to do it. What's the point of doing it anyway? You might as well do it right, because we're sitting with the scriptures. That's what the idea was of Brother Branham's ministry. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet to turn us back to the early church. The early church had it right. They didn't have none of that Easter garbage. They did the Passover. They recognized the Passover. And you and I, we're just in with the program. We're just in the way, that's with the early church. That's what the idea was of God sending that prophet. That's what we're doing. We don't care what people say, do, or think. We're just in with the program. God sent his son, they called him Jesus. He came to live, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lived. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lived, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby, and feel the pride and joy he gives. But greater still, the calm assurance, this child can face uncertain day because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, And life is worth the living just because he lives. And then one day I'll cross the river. I'll fight life's fight no more with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. And life is worth the living just because he lives. And then one day I'll cross the river. I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. And life is worth the living just because he lives. Leaning by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in his great love, from all our sin a sheltering arm, I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worry is vain. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in his great love, from all our sin a sheltering arm, I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. Though tempests may blow and the storm clouds arise, obscuring the brightness of life, I'm never alarmed at the overcast sky. The Master looks on at the strife. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in his great love. From all harm, safe in a sheltering arm, I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. I know that he safely will carry me through, no matter what evils betide. Why should I then fear though tempest may blow, if Jesus walks close by my side? Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in his great love. From all harm, safe in his sheltering arm, I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. Our Lord will return to this earth some sweet day. Our troubles will then all be o'er. The Master so gently will lead us away beyond the blessed heavenly shore. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in his great love. From all harm, red and a sheltering arm, I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. See, you and I, we got it right. That we got what we see, what we say, what we do. We're following the scriptures. Mm-hmm. We're saying it the way it needs to be said. Jesus, when he was here, he ran into the same characters that we have to put up with.
That's right, he did.
The same devil. Back in the days when he went up when he went into the synagogue to preach.
And that's in Nazareth.
Nazareth, mm-hmm. He ran into the same thugs. And he was done preaching with them. They tried to throw him off the mountain.
Mm-hmm. They were filled with wrath.
Mm-hmm. And we went through the same thing. I remember when Becca and I was in their kangaroo courts and told them the truth, told them that baptism that you guys have is of the devil. And they got mad. They told me you got till sundown to get out of here. Like, they do the same thing. It's the same spirit that mm-hmm. Jesus confronted. Same devil. The same spirit that's on these scribes and these Pharisees back in the day and these zealots. The same spirit is on these people today in these Hutterite pulpits. And we tell them that, they get mad at us. Mm-hmm. They think we're crazy, but it's them that are crazy. They're not even born again. Like, it's the same mechanism, you know. It's the same devil that was back on these scribes and these Pharisees. I've been in their kangaroo courts time and time and time again, trying to direct them to the ways that for the church age of Laodicea. I remember back in the early 90s, I told them about God sent the prophet, and I was thinking yesterday, what a different world it would be if they would have listened to what I told them. I told them, take your sermons, burn them up, they're no good. They're written by the devil. The devil wrote them. Make sure you never find the real thing. And, that didn't go over too well. And they did exactly what they did back in the day. They just throw them off the mountain, get rid of them, take this animal out of here. But see, the truth keeps marching on. We don't worry about what they do. They're just the same tugs, the same spirit that was driving these zealots back in the day of Jesus. And we're just taking the wraps off here in the closing mm-hmm. period of time. It's very obvious that they're no good. I think that back in the day with that Blumengar Jake and that Mike from Summerfield, they were the head hunches back then. And I begged and I pleaded with them to look at this thing about God sending a prophet. And they said, when you build a kitchen, you go all over looking for the best of the best. And here's something that affects your eternal destiny, and you won't even look at it. And he ended up saying, we got till sundown to get out of here. You're not going to tell us none of your garbage. Well, now you got the results. And they die like animals, and they don't even realize that it's God's judgment on them. That Blumengar Jake, I was thinking about that the other day, his wife died because he was lying against the Holy Ghost. Nobody tells him that. They just mm-hmm. go from day to day and think things just happen. No, his wife died because she was lying. He was confronted with some things that he did over with that Henry from Hidden Valley or from Rose Bank, and he was confronted, and his wife came to his rescue. Oh, he never said that. Yeah, and then she left the room, and she had a stroke, and 2 weeks later she died. You see, they die like animals, and they're not even aware that it's God's judgment on them. And then mm-hmm. later on, he had a stroke and he died. And then that Mike from Summerfield here, they die like animals. You went to see him about 2 weeks before he died. And here he had this gout in his foot and full of cancer and all that stuff. That's God's judgment on these people. And they don't even know it. And then they go off to hell and that and think they're just because they live in a commune, they think they got a ticket to glory. Oh, yeah, sure. And now you see the results. I drove through that place the other day. It's like driving through a morgue. It's like dead. There's nothing there, because that's the result of that Mike of Summerfield's sojourn here on earth. All he did is all about materialism. The best wasn't good enough. And that whole other thing is, it's not of God. And we're just trying to take the reps out now here in these closing days of time. And, seek the Lord while he may be found. I sought the Lord back in the early 90s. The Lord came to me and he said, Sam, I'm coming soon. And then he gave me a scripture. Seek the Lord while he may be found, because there's coming a day you'll seek him and he cannot be found. And just, that's where we are at the time. We don't have much left. There's only about 2.5 years left before the day the Lord's going to we're just going to bump right into it.
Mm-hmm.
And see, you and I, we've prepared ourselves. We heard about God sending a prophet, and we did exactly what any human being ought to do. At least go study it out, at least look at it, see if it's not true. And that's what you and I did when we heard about it. We embraced it with a passion, and that's what everybody should have done back in the early 90s, you know. And, that's what you and I did. We've heard about it, and we allowed ourselves to be taught. And for 30, 40 years, we've been saturating ourselves with that angelic ministry, that prophetic and that apostolic ministry, because behind it, this is a revelation that God gave to Jesus, to give to the angel, to give to John, back in the day, and then here in these closing days of time, is this a revelation that God gave to Jesus, to give to the angel, to give to Brother Branham. Just that simple. It's a simple, the foolproof system.
Mm-hmm.
And see, you and I found out about that. We were ignorant as a duck. I was 45 years old or more when I came to this understanding, and I embraced it with a passion. And I've been on it ever since. They didn't come around here trying to divert us and doing exactly what they tried to do back in the days of Jesus, but Jesus knew who he was. He knew what he was called to do, and he did it with, he passed with flying colors. That's what you and I are being attacked with. And let's see, we're staying the course. We're not made up of compromising stuff, you know what I'm saying? It's not going to get us to compromise, because we know we're right.
That's right
to this very day.
We know what we heard.
Amen. But this is the resurrection. That's why we're doing what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
We recognize the resurrection Sunday morning, this week, Sunday morning. Sometimes it's on Sunday. Sometimes it's on Monday. It all depends on the spring equinox. And then the first new moon after that. And then on it goes, and then all these seven feasts throughout the year, we recognize them the way they are, and then we're not missing a beat. We're doing exactly what that early church did. That was the idea of the ministry of Brother Branham, to take us back to the early church and weave our way all through our 2,000 years of satanic deception. That's why I say, when I say these sermons, that they're preaching every day for the last 500 years. They were written by Satan. There's only one thing message. Back in the days of Martin Luther, he keeps saying it over and over again, the just shall live by faith. And then the devil didn't like that, because they put him out of commission. He put that one lone man, put that whole 1,000 years of dark ages, or 2,000 years of dark Satan's hell here on earth through the Roman Catholic Church, and along comes Martin Luther, and it puts it out of commission. And then the devil sits back, and he didn't like that. So what does he do? He raises up these tugs, these Zwinglis, and these Andreas Ehrenpreises, and these Jakob Hooters, and he takes the church right back into communism, exactly what it was. It was in the dark ages. But now he's going to put on a real cloak of religion, a real nice black hat and a black suit, and oh, he looks so pious, and he comes along, oh, the only way you can really prove that you love your brother, brotherly love, is if you live in the commune. And he's got the whole world polluted now, and then for 500 years, they've been living in these communes all around the world. Nothing but the agents of Satan, these people are. And we come along, we take the reps off, we tell it exactly the way the just shall live by faith. Just live out your faith. You're born again, you're justified by Jesus in our Calvary, and you live as if as if you believe it. And then he moved on to Wesley. Now God expects the human to live a holy and a dedicated lifestyle. And then along comes Brother Branham, and he accepts us to go back to the apostolic faith of our fathers, baptism in Jesus' name. And I told them about all that, and guess what? They did exactly what they did back in the days of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Throw him off the mountain, mm-hmm. crucify him, get rid of that animal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same, just the same old, same old.
Yeah, people nowadays paint such a rosy picture of Jesus and everything, you know. But if you were back in the days of Jesus, you would find that if you would be identified with Jesus, you were being persecuted. You were the one that would be put out of the synagogues, out of their religious organizations. And that's the same way now today. If you don't agree with them, they'll put you out of their religious organization. And well, which is a good thing, because you really don't want to have anything to do with this religion, because religion takes away from God. And that's really something that the devil does. Every time God does something, he forms an organization and makes something where people are locked in. But Jesus, it says, Jesus came to set the captives free. And here people are being led back into captivity through these systems of organizations.
Yeah, well, the beat goes on. We're just telling people the truth. That's our main thrust. And people want it, fine. And if, like I say, if you and I, if we don't stand in the gap, like back in the days of Isaiah, Jeremiah, they stood in the gap for those people. And if you and I, we don't stand in the gap, they don't have a prayer. They don't have a hope. You see them in the store all over, and I look at them, and what a pathetic picture. If we don't stand in the gap and tell Lord to have mercy on them, they don't have a prayer. They're just going to be swept out to hell and that, because back in the early 90s, there was still time for them to do exactly what you and I did, to prepare ourselves mm-hmm. for this day that just 2.5 years is the day of the Lord. It'll be all over but the crying, because that day of the Lord, there is no more mercy then. You're just going to be swept out. And if we don't stand in the gap and tell these people the truth and tell the Lord to have mercy on them, they don't have a prayer, because they believe you and me. If we don't do that, there's absolutely no way that they will find grace in the eyes of God, because they've done, rejected everything that we've tried to say over the years. They think it's cool to reject us and to hate us and do whatever they're doing, just like it was back in the days of Jesus. And then if they rejected Jesus, they had to suffer the consequences. They see that the destruction of Jerusalem came on them, and they were just swept away, just like it was in the days of Noah. They rejected Noah, and they were swept out in that flood. And here it's the same thing. If you reject what we're saying, you're just going to be swept out in the day of the Lord. It's just that simple. And it's the only message that you and I have. And see, the truth is marching on. Whether we like it or not, whether we believe it or not, the Spirit of the living God is moving on. And right now, 2.5 years from about under three years, you see the day of the Lord approaching, because God can't change it. He's just going to made that blueprint way back before the foundation of the world. And now people are going to bump right into it, whether they believe it or not. And it's just like I said, as it was in the days of Noah, they didn't believe Noah, and they bumped right into that flood. And here's the same thing. And we've been trying to beat the gums here together since the early 90s, but it falls on deaf ears. But see, that's just our job. We're just warning people. If they want it, fine. If not, well, they're going to have to suffer the consequences. These communes all over Manitoba and the U.S., that does not give them a ticket to glory. They're just going to have to do exactly what we did. We turned our face as a flint once we heard about God sending a prophet. And all that's left here now is the invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. If you reject that, you can go read Matthew 22 for yourself. You can go and find out exactly what's going to happen. He said he's going to say, if you reject that invitation, he's going to send in his armies, and he's going to kill these murderers and burn down their cities. I didn't write the Bible. I just happened to find out exactly where we are in time, and we found we're telling exactly the way it is and the way it's going to be. He's going to come right into the day of the Lord, whether you're ready or not. And we're just sending out warning here day after day, and then take it or leave it. Just that simple. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trembling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed his faithful line of its arrows with sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. He has sounded forth the trump that will never sound retreat. He is lifting out the hearts of all before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer. And be jubilant, my feet, God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Hallelujah, his truth is marching on. Oh, my loving brother, when this world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Hide me over in the rock of ages. Rock of ages, rock of ages, cleft for me. Oh, the judgment day is coming. What an awful day it will be. Christ forever is my refuge. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Oh, my loving brother, when this world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillar? Hide me over in the rock of ages, rock of ages, rock of ages, cleft for me.
At the sounding
of the trumpet at the dawning of the day, worldly pleasures with their treasures shall forever pass away. Oh, my loving brother, when this world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillar? Hide me over in the rock of ages, rock of ages, rock of ages, cleft for me. Poor lost sinner will be crying for the home they'll never see, but the ransom will be singing, rock of ages, cleft for me. Oh, my loving brother, want God's bosom to be your pillow. Hide me over in the rock of ages, rock of ages, rock of ages, cleft for me. Like we were saying, we have a job to do here in these closing days of time. And you and I, we're the only two people on planet Earth that has the picture right. We could tell people, we could go back with Jesus or with God and sit with him in that council, when he made that council, and we got the full counsel of God. We could walk you right through billions and millions of years of what God's been doing for ever since he set that plan in motion. And we got it right. And here now, we're right, happened to be right here in these closing days of time. If the grace age is over, and the week of Daniel, over halfway through the week of Daniel, and we're just telling people and warning people the day of the Lord is just ahead. You can't change it, you can't hurry it up, you can't slow it down. God can't stop it, Jesus can't stop it, we can't stop it. Only thing everybody can do is to prepare themselves for the coming of the Lord, for the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's the only thing that's left. But the masses, they keep on going. They're doing their religious powwows and their religious holidays and their Easter and their Christmas and all that stuff. It doesn't matter, hill or bean. You've got to be interconnected with that angelic ministry that Jesus said before he went to Calvary. This is going to be eternal life. And they believe in them whom I will send. And you and I just happened by the grace of God to step into it. We could have been like everybody else. We could have drifted down through life and not even aware of what's going on right in front of our faces. But we tapped into it. The Lord, by his grace, forgave us the understanding of that brighter Brennan's message, the church age of Laodicea. And we embraced it with a passion when it came by our way. And we've been going ever since. We're not going to compromise. Even though they come in here trying to discourage us, trying to divert us off course, we're on course. We're here to stay. We're going to continue on doing exactly what the Lord placed on our hearts to do. Mm-hmm. And we're going to say it exactly the way it needs to be said. It's just that simple.
That's right. I want to read something here in Leviticus 23. When you go to the New Testament, there's a lot of controversy out there when Jesus was resurrected, and people have all kinds of misconceptions about the Sabbath nowadays. People go back and they start worshiping on the Sabbath because they think that's what God instituted back there for the Jewish people, and that's really the day to worship. But if you will go back to the Old Testament, to the feasts, then you can see what God was pointing to and how everything, when the time will come, will all fall into place. Just like when it says, at the fullness of time, the angel Gabriel came to Mary. When the time was right and everything was right to be fulfilled, that scripture should be fulfilled. When the time was right, that angel Gabriel came to Mary and announced the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you go to Leviticus 23, I'll start there in verse 1. In verse 4. I'll go through the feast, the first three feasts. So the first feast is the feast of Passover. And we know the feast because that's one the first feast that God told the Israelites when they were leaving Egypt. That was the first Passover that they had, was just as they were leaving Egypt going into the wilderness. So he said, these are the Lord's appointed times, holy assemblies, which you must proclaim at their appointed time. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at twilight, is a Passover offering to the Lord. Then on the 15th day of the same month will be the festival of unleavened bread to the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. On the first day there will be a holy assembly for you. You must not do any regular work. You must present a gift to the Lord for 7 days, and the seventh day is a holy assembly. You must not do any regular work. So you can see that on the Feast of Passover was there at the first full moon after the spring equinox brought in the new year. And then 14 days later was the Feast of Passover. And then on the 15th day, they started with the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And on the first day, it was a holy convocation. That's when the grace age in was brought in. It was a holy convocation there. And you can see going back to the early church there, when Peter stood up at the day of Pentecost, how the early church flourished. That was that first, the first church age there, the first church age of Ephesus. And then coming to the seventh day is another holy convocation. That's where God is going to bring it all back to the faith of the early church, another holy convocation. So going to the feast of first fruit now, which is the resurrection. The Lord spake to Moses, speak to the Israelites and tell them, when you enter the land that I am about to give to you and you gather in its harvest, then you must bring the sheaf of the first portion of your harvest to the priest, and he must wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for your benefit on the day after the Sabbath. The priest is to wave it. So now the day after the Sabbath, that was their Sabbath, the Saturday was the Sabbath day. Then the day after, they were to bring the first fruit to the priest, and the priest would wave it before the Lord as an offering. And then that first fruit represented the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was resurrected on a Sunday. Now, when you will go back to the garden, to the upper room there, that was Thursday night when Jesus had the Last Supper with his disciples, and then he went into the garden, and there, in the garden there, he prayed, "If it be your will, Father, that you would take this cup from me, but not my will be done, but your will." And then he surrendered his will to his heavenly Father. And that's when, after that, Judas came with the horde, and they captured Jesus, and they took him, and they did everything that they could to mutilate the Lord Jesus Christ there. And that was in the Thursday night when they captured him. And then in all night long, that's what they did. And in the morning, they delivered him up to be crucified. And that was Friday morning now. And then Friday by 9 o'clock in the morning, 9 a.m., he was hung there on the cross of Calvary there. And then from 12 to 3, there was darkness all over the land. And by after 3 o'clock, Jesus had said, "It is finished." And that's when he died. And before their Sabbath, the preparation of Sabbath, Jesus was in the tomb there, in the rich man's tomb. And that was before the Sabbath day. So he was there Friday, he was in the grave, all day Saturday, and the early mornings of Sunday. So that is a representative of 3 days. That's why here the fulfillment of this feast here happened there when Jesus resurrected on a Sunday. That was the fulfillment of the third feast of first fruit. Jesus is that first fruit of them that slept. He is the first one to ever be resurrected, to give us life eternal. And that you can all bring it back to the scripture. Like, there is a lot of people that they worship on the Sabbath day because they think that's where Jesus resurrected, but it was it was a Sunday to fulfill the Sabbath. Jesus came to fulfill the Sabbath, and you can always weave yourself in the right direction when you take it back to the scripture, and there is no confusion. There's no need to be confused about these things, but the devil likes to bring in confusion, and people readily accept Satan's lies, mm-hmm. and they just fall for it, and that's where all confusion comes in, and that's why a lot of people, they don't know if they're coming or going anymore, because they just don't take it back to the Word of God.
Amen to that, and that's all we're doing. We're staying with that Word no matter what people say. Do or think, and it's just our makeup. Just the way it is. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for another day of life, for the many things you do for us, Lord, and have done for us. We just pray you continue to use us for your honor and for your glory. Do with us as you see fit, because we don't have a program, we don't have an agenda. The only thing we have is the true and living Word of God, Lord. We just pray you just keep inspiring us. Give us the grace to continue on, and we just pray for these Hutterite nation, Lord, that they'll open up their understanding. If you don't do nothing for them, Lord, they'll just be swept out, and the day of the Lord will come upon them, and they won't even know what happened to them. Like, you're just trying to send out warning shots on a day-to-day basis, Lord, and if they forget it, fine. If not, there's nothing we can do about it, Lord. You can just ask that you'll use us for your glory. If you want to tell us to use us to warn them, Lord, fine. If not, we'll just have to continue on and do what you've called us to do. Just keep on warning them. And if we receive it, fine. If not, well, there's nothing we can do about it. We just pray, Lord, you'll open up their hearts, and we just pray you'll get that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, there's so much, only so much a person can do, and then you just got to leave it with the Lord, and He can do a lot more than we can ever thought about doing. That's all we're trying to do. We're just trying to warn the people. Like I say, back in the early 90s, the Lord moved on us, and He brought us out of that, out of these religious cesspools. He brought us out, and you know, when you analyze it, you step back. Whenever God does something, Satan, he's right there like a dirty shirt to confuse the picture, and he's very successful at it because he knows exactly where people are weak, and just as soon as back in the garden, you can go back in the garden. God had a perfect environment. Adam and Eve, they were in charge of the whole planet. They had control of the animal kingdom. Everything was hunky-dory. But then God gave them a choice. He made people with a freedom of choice, and then He gave them the law. He gave them one commission to be fruitful and multiply. By being fruitful and multiply, all you got to do is partake of the tree of life. And the reason that you and I can talk the way we talk, we go back into biblical history and we see exactly what He did back in the garden. He came on the scene and He watched that young couple. Everything was hunky-dory. He don't like it, everything being hunky-dory. And what does He do? He uses that serpent-like creature to deceive, and deceived her. And before you know it, He's got chaos in the camp. And that's exactly what He does to this very day. He'd like to get His foot in the door here. He tried time and time again to try to come in here with these tubs and with the different ones that came in underground, and it was up to you and I to be sober and vigilant. We want, there's no excuse, oh, the devil made me do it and all that. So it's up to you and I to be sober and to be vigilant and to continue on in prayer and fasting and to be spiritually alert. Then if we do that, we see them coming, and the Lord warns us, even if they, before they show up, there's somebody coming in here, and like the other day when this guy, right in the morning when we were sitting here, all of a sudden you chirped up and you said, the Lord just spoke to you. He's given you power over scorpions and over serpents and over all power of the enemy. And here before the day ended, here comes this Hutterite preacher in here trying to divert us. The Lord had already warned us. There's going to be a scorpion and a and the serpent come in and he tried to divert us. That's how the Lord, it's up to you and I to be sober, to be vigilant, and to make sure that we're on board, we're ahead of the devil, and we're aware of his tactics. Like when he sent that Jeremy, and you know, if we wouldn't have been alert, he would have taken us out to hell and death with him. And he, same with that Joni. Oh man, she was slick. Oh, she wanted to pay her tithes here. Oh, she wanted me to baptize her, but the red lights came on, and we found out she's nothing but sent in by Satan to try to destroy what we're doing here. And one after another, they come. But see, you and I, we're sober, we're vigilant, and we can see exactly what's going on. And now we're just warning people what's coming. And about 3 years from now, the day of the Lord is here. I read these scriptures when I was young, growing up, and man, they were pretty scary scriptures. I didn't know what the day of the Lord is. There's a lot of things I didn't know. But now here, the Lord has given us, we not only know it, the Lord has given you and I the responsibility to put that out there on a day-to-day basis. That's why we can put it out there, because we know we're in the hour we're living in. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people complaining, oh, he's got that woman, she preaches more than he does. But see, they don't know the day and hour we're living in. We're living in the restoration of all things. It began on October the 15th, 2021. And before, when you go back at the garden, there was no such a thing as a woman playing second fiddle to that. It was only after the curse, the curse he put on that woman. Now your husband is going to be subject to you, and the female had a lower position than the man, and then Paul capitalizes on it. He said, I perceive a woman not to teach. But see, you and I, we know where we're living in. We're living in the restoration of all things, and now he's putting everything back to what it was before the fall. It's just a matter of time now, and before it's all going to be over, there will be that glorious utopia. There'll be no more devil, and now it's already in the process of happening, because you just know more, many times more than I do, because God has removed that part of that judgment that he puts on the woman, playing Satan with fiddle. Now it's all being, the proof is in the pudding. Everything is beginning to be restored, and it ain't going to stop until Jesus Christ, after the millennium, he hands the kingdom back to his heavenly Father. And it's as if there was no devil, and it's going to be as if there was never no fall. Everything will be back before it was before the fall. And we're in the process now. We're in that week of Daniel, where he was at, where Jesus was at. Will you at that time once again restore Israel? Well, the restoration is on as of October the 15th, 2021. The reason we know it, because we're in touch with reality. God has given us that midnight cry. He has given us the beginning of the church age, the latest year, which is 1906. And then he's given us the midnight in October, February the 28th, 1963. You get the beginning, you get the middle, now you got the end. All you got to do is add 57 years on to 1964, and you come to 2021. And then because of that feast, you were so obsessed with these feasts, you had these feasts spot on, and here we were waiting for that Yom Kippur feast, and it was exactly October the 15th, 2021, when that true Yom Kippur feast was on, and that's the end of the grace age, that's beginning the week of Daniel, and that's when the seventh seal was opened. We got it, everything together, because we've been ordained of God to do it and to warn people of what's coming. That's why we can truly say where we're living at. And we're only under 3 years away from the day of the Lord. It behooves people to get themselves ready. And that's why we're putting out this daily bread. It's not our program. We just tell the Lord, Lord, do it as you see fit. Use us for your honor and for your glory, because we can't come up with nothing here in these closing days of time. It's too delicate an hour for any human being to come up with his own ideas. That's all we're doing. We just trust the Lord, and he's leading and guiding us. He gives us revelation, like I said. He gave us the revelation of that midnight cry, and If you don't have that, you're just as confused as everything. And like we keep saying, as soon as God does something, the devil, he just loves to confuse the picture. And because people are not alert, they're not aware of things, they're not aware of their surroundings, he can just take them out to hell and death. They don't even, they're not even aware that they're being deceived, they're being tucked. Mm-hmm. Just that simple.
That's right. When you go through the church ages, like you go through Ephesus, the ones that are listed in the book of Revelation, you go to Ephesus. Now, Paul had a message for the church age of Ephesus. And then you go come to the church age of Smyrna. And Irenaeus had the message that was needed for the church age of Smyrna. And you come to all the church ages down. You come to Martin, you come to Columbo, you come to Martin Luther, to the church age of Sardis, you come to Philadelphia with John Wesley. John Wesley had a message for the church age of Philadelphia, which was around the 1800s. He had a message that was needed for that day and hour. Now, in the Laodicea church hour, the one that had the message was Brother Brenham and Brother Jackson. They brought the message that was needed for that church age. And anything outside of that is going to be led to deception. It's just that simple. And if people have missed that, then they've missed out what God has done in the Laodicea church age. And I know time revolves on. God gives grace in a different form. Like in the week of Daniel, the form is like people that have not taken opportunity while the grace age was on, they will give up their lives to be part of that resurrection. And then it goes on if for a different era then for people to go into the millennium. See, it's just, God always has some grace available for people that will have the opportunity to receive the message for their hour and for their time. Just like the mortal people will be those sheep people that God will elect to be able to go into the millennium to repopulate the earth, because in the millennium it's really an age of restitution, to restore all things. When you will go to like you were saying, the fall, when the woman was put in, the man was put head over the woman. See, in the millennium, all these things, and they are already starting for that restoration, all that to be restored back to its originality, what the devil took from man in the garden. These things are all going to be restored, and these are just starting to happen, and that's what you are seeing happening. And there will be a lot of mortals, and I believe a lot of Hutterites that will go into that millennium age as sheep people to repopulate the earth, because they're a clean people, and they're people that have some morals and things, you know, that God can use in the millennium.
Amen to that. And we're just trying to send out the program. Mm-hmm. God has given you and I the program right from beginning, when he had that big council way back in Ephesians chapter 1, where he sat down, he had himself a council, and he preordained everything, predestinated everything. He knows the beginning from the end, and he let us in on the secret. And now all we're doing here in these closing days, we're putting it out there for us. Whosoever will, let him hear. See, the grace of God, it just never ends. And the grace age is over, but the grace of God, he just keeps pouring out on the human race to the point where he says, whosoever will, no conditions. All you got to do is come and become part of that stream and believe what we're trying to say here. Whosoever will, let him come and partake of the waters of life. That's what you and I are sent for, to do that, because he's given us the understanding and of the scriptures. And now all that's left now here, right now here, is the invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Not a baptism in Jesus' name is over. The calling out of a bride is over. Now all that's all left here now is the invitation to come to the marriage supper of the Lamb. You can read it over, like I say. You could go read it in Matthew 22. If you reject that, there is no more hope for you. You go to, he's going to send them these, his armies, and he's going to kill these murderers that keep rejecting and rejecting and rejecting. We're not just playing a game here. We're telling people exactly the way it is. If you keep rejecting it, you're going to do exactly what happened back in there. And it destructs the Jerusalem. You're going to go up there, you're going to be destroyed. And here's the same thing, it's just a repeat all over again. You're going to go exactly what happened to the Israelites when they rejected the prophets and they went into captivity. And they're still out there today. And here's the same thing, if you reject this invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb, you can read it in Matthew 22, and you can read it over in Luke. It's all out there for everybody to read. And if you reject it, there's just more hope for you. It's all, we're trying to warn people here. We can't force people. We can't make up their mind for them. All you got to do is accept the invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And that's just the end of the story. That's just exactly the way it is. We didn't write the Bible. We just happened. The Lord let us in on His secrets and on His mysteries. And all we're doing now, we're telling, putting it out there for whosoever will let them come and partake of the waters of life freely. Just that simple.
Heavenly Father, we just want to come before You. We give You thanks for Your grace, Lord, that You've poured out for mankind, Lord. And with every period of time, You've given some grace available to people that they could somehow make it, Lord. And we know in the week of Daniel, in that under that seventh seal, You also have a provided way. Just like at the end of the 70th week of Daniel, there will be sheep people that You will allow to go into that millennium age, that age of restitution, Lord. So we thank You, Lord, for Your program, Lord. You have planned in Your creation, Lord, to give grace unto men, Lord, so that in any situation and in any time frame that You have a provided way for man, Lord. And we give You thanks for that. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.